Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, and just give you all the praise. Father, you sent him some 2,000 years ago to die. And oh, Father, you're sending him, oh, and we hope today to receive his wife. Oh, and she's a readied one. Lord, help us to be that readied company. Lord, just build up that fervent love in our life today. God, somehow, some way, penetrate every life here today. One that may seem that they're afar off, Lord God. Let them see how wide open your arms are today. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, Lord God, and weak and weary, Lord God, and need that comfort, Lord, the rest, Lord God, of the arms, that wonderful loving hand of Jesus. Lord, we thank you again for that calling, the calling of love. I love you. Lord, let us hear that through your word today, that same resounding voice, the voice of the Lamb upon the cross, the voice of the wonderful Son that sits patiently at the right hand of the Father. May we sincerely hear you whisper to the Father today, oh, Father, will be this the time that you send me to go get my lovely bride. Thank you for the calling. Thank you for those, Lord God, that you have chosen. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. Well, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, Hebrews 2, 9, it says, but we see Jesus. Isn't that something? We see him, don't we? Praise God. We see him by faith. We see him through the word of God. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. See, he was made that way for death. To become sin, be made sin for you, and he knew no sin. Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And all I can say is, how precious, how incredible is our lowly Jesus. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? I mean, you know, many want fanfare and praises, big events, smoke and mirrors, as I say. God's looking for substance. He's looking for the power of that meekness, the power of that contrite and lowly heart. And praise be to God, that's just the one who our Savior is. Lower than the angels, the lowly Savior's birth. I think about the lowly shepherds that came to see him. I'm sure they didn't smell real nice. I'm sure they may have smelt just like the little animals that were around him that day as he came into this world. But then how sweet he came to save us, amen? The men of low estate that he came to save. And you think about this again, and I appreciate how God just orders things, as our sister sang. He's the one who spoke, and out came the universe. All of creation. The magnificence of what we see, how spectacular is man looks deep into space and to see the handiwork of our God. But that wasn't handiwork, that was just, he spoke that. I think of the beauty of a butterfly's wings, how intricate and detailed our precious Lord is. He takes those little wings, and I don't know if you enjoy when the monarchs fly through, you know, and they were out there and it got cold and was snowing. And I thought, oh my goodness, they all died. Next morning I got out and there they were on them plants fluttering around. God knows. But he paints those little wings, the one who spoke the magnificence of how vast, again, the universe is. But yet the detail. And then you think about he's the one that thinks about us every day in so many ways. But I believe sometimes as I'm standing out there on my porch or I get up on the hill, he canvasses for me a sunset and a sunrise every single day. Yeah. But once again, that mighty one, that one of just wonder, is also the one that was made the worm upon the cross, who was made sin and entered hell itself for you. Very God of very God he left the throne, the plan of the Father, because he loved you. He left the throne. And he came down. And not only did he take the form of man, he became the lowest. I've always heard, and I'm thankful I've heard the truth for years. We see so many pictures of Jesus in portraits. I thank God that people think of Jesus. But they basically paint him as this beautiful, magnificent man. Features that are beyond a Charlton Heston and different ones that you might find beautiful. And yet we read in the Word of God that there was nothing about his appearance at all that we would find appealing. He was lowly, probably homely. Nothing that would attract a man or a woman to him naturally. But oh my, those that had a heart to hear a voice, to hear the word at a well. As he was walking by as that woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, and they surrounded her to kill her. She's broken the law. Not only was it reported, it wasn't hearsay, we caught her. And that price must be paid. And as he came upon them, he said, you without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. Who is this? And as he bent, and it says, and he wrote upon the ground, whatever they saw that was being written. And I'll tell you what, the only thing that he would write is the word of God. They slithered off. And there alone was that lovely lady. Yes, a lady. In the eyes of the Lord. Truly I could hear his voice say, my love, go and sin no more. He wasn't counting upon her faithfulness. He knew the power of his blood. He knew the power of his love. And that's what we're here to rejoice in today, is his love. And is it any wonder why he loves the humble? See, we humble ourselves before God. When man tries to humble themselves and look humble, that's disgusting. Oh, you know, I'm just lowly. No, when you humble yourself before God, you know, when you find yourself humbling yourself before God, is when you find the magnificence of his grace in times that you truly messed up. When you truly, let's just get down to it, you are bad. You are wrong. See, he didn't come here to show us right from wrong. You knew that because of God. You knew that from his love. He came here to save you. And he came here to continue to encourage you. It says he took your guilt. Jesus didn't come here to increase your guilt. I've taken your shame. I've taken all of the things, truly, that you wish didn't happen. Things that you wish you didn't even think about. I bore that on the cross for you. I took that all upon me. That the only thing that remains, praise God, is Christ liveth in you. Come on now. This is the beauty of our Lord. But see, is it any wonder why it says, I love the brokenhearted. He says, he loves the contrite spirit. As it says in Isaiah 57:15, one of my favorite verses in the Word of God. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I mean, he's it. He is the high and the lofty one. His name is holy. He's God. And yet, here's what he dwells for. I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble. To revive the heart of the contrite ones. Seeing only God can make you humble and contrite. Meaning the recognition of how mighty and wonderful and loving and merciful is our God. Stay with this. Brother Paul magnificently praised the Lord in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, for this mercy and this grace. That's 1 Timothy 1:15. Paul said, this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. See, he didn't come to condemn. He came to save. To save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. See, he was the chief of sinner, but it was for that cause that he obtained mercy. That in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul saying there, I was shown this great mercy. I was the worst of sinners. That Jesus Christ might display upon me the pattern for everybody else. The pattern of what? Of grace and mercy for all of those that would believe in him for eternal life. See, no flesh, in the Word of God it says this, no flesh shall be justified by the works of the law. So many people want to. So many religions want to. Somehow profess or get you to think that you can work your way into heaven. If it truly is the benchmark, the Word of God, which you go by, it says you're justified by faith. You're justified by one thing, one simple, wonderful thing, faith. And see, the Word of God tells you that it's impossible to please God without faith. You could go out and work yourself to death. But if you don't have faith, there's no pleasing to God. You've completely missed the mark. The mark is faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I'm going to tell you something. You're benefiting in your life today by hearing this. It's pleasing to God. This is something that pleases the Lord. And I believe that there's something quickening in our lives. You know what? Jesus has been so good to me. I want to praise him. I want to thank him. I want something to be done in my life for him. Well, the only thing that will ever please him that will be done in your life is the Word of God. And simply to just hear the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? How simple it is. How, if you want to say lowly, our Lord is. He does not get you out there and ask you, you need to go do this and this and this. All of this list that oftentimes you'll find in religious institutions. The biggest religions of the world, they'll give you lists. And God tells you one thing, it's impossible to please me without faith. And faith comes one way by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How much more clear could that be? And here all he's asked you to do, essentially as any good father would do, and my sons hear this often, just give me your time. I just want to be with you. I want to have fellowship. I want us to talk. He just wants to talk. He wants you to listen. And then you know one thing he loves to do? He loves to hear you. He loves you to hear you coming boldly to the throne of grace. Father, I got a need. And that's okay. Often heard, and you've heard it on funny movies before. You know, God, I haven't bothered you very often. Like somehow that was some achievement. Let me tell you something. God wants you to bother him. Matter of fact, he'd love you to just tent out right at the throne of grace. Just be honest with it. He wants you camped right there and saying, you know what? I'm helpless. I'm a mess up. I can't get it done. Every time I try to do anything, I step in it further. I'll let you to think of what you're stepping in. But that's the one he loves. That's the one he adores. Because that's the one who knows, I need my Savior. I need my Savior. He didn't save you and then say, okay, now go out there and do it. No. You realize that the moment that you receive Christ as Savior, then you grow up knowing, I need him more and more for everything. I need him for every moment of my life. And how wonderful that Paul said, this is the pattern of our Jesus, is grace and mercy. King David said it like this so sweetly in 86:13. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Jesus did not come to save good people. He came to save us that knew there's none righteous, no, not one. Paul, in some respects, I could see his brokenheartedness in saying, oh, wretched man that I am. But I'm telling you, and my family has heard it, I've run around the house praising my God, oh, wretched man that I am. I get it. I love his grace. I love his mercy. I love his goodness. I love what he does within me. Praise God. Christ in me, the real stuff. Not Jesse's fake stuff, but Christ's real stuff. The stuff that changes my heart. The stuff that moves me. That causes that true out-of-body experience, if you will. Whoa, what's going on? I know that ain't me. I know I would never choose that. I know I'd never feel that way. You ever get mad at God and say, I should feel angry about this, but I can't stop from loving that brother. He needs one of these, and all I want to do is hug him. Sometimes it'll creep up towards your throat, but God brings it back down. You know? But see, there might be one here today, maybe two even, who knows, three or four, that thought you're too wicked or too lowly. Huh? But see, the Apostle Paul, he already beat you to that place. He claimed it. I'm the chief. Isn't that wonderful? See, he already set the benchmark. You can say, unload it. Nope, Paul got it. God allowed him to say it in the Word of God. I am the chief of sinner. There is none more sinful. And you think about, why did Jesus single out Paul? To magnify the grace of God. But it wasn't just Paul. Why did Jesus single you out? To magnify the grace of God. I believe you all know that. So why get confused in my life that I think somehow I need to go magnify me? Magnify something that I do. I want to magnify the grace of God. Now that doesn't mean I sin willfully that grace may abound. The Word of God tells us that. Just so somebody doesn't try to get ornery in here. But we magnify the grace of God because he so loves us. See, when you understand and really grow in the knowledge of how incredibly you are loved by Jesus, the truth causes your heart to break in love. And I will never quit saying it because I'm thankful I get it. The things that the Lord has changed in my life is because of one thing, not fear. No. Because man's so stupid that even if you fear something, you'll go back and do it. Be honest. It's true. Oh, I'm so afraid I'm never going around there no more. Come on. But love changes. Love causes you to do things you'd never do. Love causes you to be something you could never be. Love causes you to part from things. It wasn't that, you know, I'm willing to depart because of love. No, love caused me to depart. See, people get that all messed up. Well, I'm going to change for Jesus. No, Jesus changes me. I'm somehow going to change because I heard the Word. No, the Word of God changes me. The more you'll hear the Word of God, the more you'll change. The more of the Word of God that comes into your life, the more you won't think about things that you wanted to leave from, and you'll find yourself, what was I thinking about? I thank the Lord how he delivers. He delivers because he increases and you decrease. That's how he delivers. It's just like as they used to try to get the sediments out of wine. You know, there's the sediments that would be down in the wineskin. Well, you know, somebody say, well, I got a great idea. I'm going to reach my hand down there and I'm going to try to get that out of there. And after a while, you know what happens? There's no more wine in the skin because of self-effort. You know what's still down in there? The sediment, because you can never get it out. You know how they figured out how to get it out? You keep pouring the wine in, and you keep pouring the wine in, and you keep pouring the wine in. And it's amazing the stuff that comes out of your life. Amen? Amen. Come on. That's how the Lord works, and you know it. Now, praise God, we're here today, and it's wonderful that we're here today. But just as Paul here says, I was the first, I was the example of the never-changing mercy of God. He said, I'll tell you what, it's his long-suffering and his patience and it's his love. And brothers and sisters, I want us to hear even more today the voice of the Lord, his longing for us to call upon his name. He came to save the lost. He came to heal ones from their blindness that knew they were blind. See, that's how it began. You got saved by the grace of God because you knew you needed a Savior. Anything in your life that goes on in the Lord, it's because you know you need your Savior. You know you need the Word of God. It never changes. You have to understand, in a sense, it's the same thought of, I recognize, Lord, I was blind and the only way I could see was by being born again. But it's just like in life, Lord, for me to ever overcome anything in my life, I have to understand that I'm weak and you're strong. I have to understand that you're the balm of Gilead. I have to understand that you're the Lord thy God that healeth all my diseases. And sometimes diseases aren't what man's disease is in their mind. I'm not talking necessarily about cancers and liver problems and mental problems and all that. I'm talking specifically maybe about bitterness or jealousy. Amen? Come on now. This is our God that heals all my diseases. Now, this is something here because he's waiting for us. See, he doesn't just pass us by, brothers and sisters. You can't outlast him. Sometimes I think in my life, there was times I thought, well, I've exhausted your patience, God. And he said, no way. He says, I'm awaiting your fellowship. And I'm going to sit right here. And it's interesting how miserable I became as he just sat right there and I didn't give him my fellowship. You have to remember, children of the King, you're not your own. You're not your own. You're his. Enjoy that you're his. Thank God that you're his. Thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus that you are his. But then, knowing that you're his, you have to understand that the things of this earth, they don't pertain to you. It's the things of heaven. See, your citizenship is in heaven. You can think that you're going to work your life out in the things of this earth. And I'm going to tell you something, you're mighty mistaken. You think that you can go by the things of this life and you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a leanness in your life. It's never going to sit right. There's things called anxiety, depression. A lot of things will begin to sit in there. You won't be satisfied without Jesus. He is the only satisfier. I'll assure you that. You were built for one thing, and you were built to receive him. You were built for the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Your vessels prepared afore unto glory. You are vessels for the praise and the glory of his grace. I just like to know what God has made me. And I love to know what God has made for me. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Praise God, it's all there. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what's so wonderful. We have a vivid, vivid expression of Jesus' love to us. Can you hear him say to Paul? Can you hear him say to you? Paul, your sin draws me to you. I am ravished. My grace is incensed to save you. Oh, I thought it was my goodness that drew the Lord to me. Do you know there's many people that think that? Oh, you know that lamb that went astray, he just left it, didn't he? He just said, oh, just, you know, that one. I got a bunch of others. I'm going to forget about that one. Oh, no, he didn't. He's coming for you. He's coming for you. He's never going to leave you alone. He's never going to leave you alone. Come on now. And see, that's me and you. See, the word says, I give grace to the humble. I love the brokenhearted. I love the contrite spirit. Everybody here got wounds today. We all got them. And I know you do. But he's the one that binds all our wounds. He's the one that will restore your countenance, the word of God says. We think that we've dipped well below his grace. He says, no way. I'm lower than you. I'm so thankful that, praise God, his wings are under me always. Always. He's always there to lift me up in him. Praise God. This is my Lord. And I see that wonderful grace and mercy. And I see it, praise God, in this salvation that Paul spoke of. But I want you to think about this, and praise be to God, as we close this up, that wonderful salvation, that mercy and grace that saved him, that was just the beginning. And I'm talking the beginning for us that are like Paul, because I'll get right up there with him. I'll take that maybe number two place then. Yeah? Three, four? Right in there? Chief of sinners? I love that. I love the blood of the Lamb. Praise God, I love that little king that he got out there, and when he found the word of God, it says that he sacrificed and kept sacrificing. They'd never seen sacrifices like that because he loved the blood. He wanted to rejoice in that wonderful mercy and grace of the blood of the Lamb. Bring me the Lamb. But that was just the beginning. It was going to be for those despised ones. Do you ever feel like you're the lowest of the earth kind? Huh? Well, the lowest of the earth kind, stay with this. They hear the message of God's great grace. And see, we all know, if you've sat in here for any time, what the message of great grace is. In Ephesians 3:8, this was Paul saying this again, the chief of sinner. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. So this was even, praise God, after he was the chief of sinner. Now, praise the Lord, he takes the place of the less of the least of all saints. Is this grace given? And oh, that was grace, great grace. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. See, Paul didn't leave that lowliness, did he? Oh, no, he didn't. He kept thanking the Lord. You know what? There's some things I just want to really talk with Paul about someday. Brother, can you just share how wonderful the mercy and the grace of God was in your life, brother? You know how we always want to highly esteem men, and, you know, like I said, and the Lord gave me that vivid about Paul. You know, they say, you know, Paul, when he was talking about them thorns, you know, in his flesh, you know, because he was such a wonderful, holy man. You know, he could never have a challenge in his flesh. So it had to be something that was, you know, definitely God-induced in a sense of this. So it had to be his skin, or it had to be his eyes, you know. No, it didn't. No, it wasn't. Paul had things going on. Paul had problems. Paul's just a man, just like us. And praise be to God, he learned the mercy and the grace of God. And he learned to praise the Lord for it. And he really learned to praise the Lord for his infirmities. Not infirmity. Tees. Oh, I love it when I'm lowly. Not just lowly to my brethren, but lowly to myself. Lord, I'm too weak. I can't get over this. This hurt me too bad. I messed up too far. Huh? I've blown it. Everybody else has told me. I've wasted my life. Well, I'll tell you what. If you're hearing this message, you got time. And I love the Lord about it. Praise God, we all started the same way. The blood of the Lamb. But I'll tell you one thing. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I've seen the Lord's learning curve, and it can go just like this. And ones that think they've been so holy and so good, they flatlined. I want to be like a Paul that kept preaching the word of God and rejoicing and thanking the Lord. I'm the least. I'm the less of the least of all saints. Do you see that? Do you see that mercy and grace? Thank him for that. And you're going to be wounded time and time again. You're going to go on and you're going to think you got your stride. And the Lord's not tripping you up. He's lifting you up. And he's lifting you up because he's going to be exalted. Hallelujah. He's going to be exalted. You've got a heart. You're hearing the word of his grace. You have a heart for his grace. And I'll tell you what, there's one thing he's going to bring. When you got a heart for his grace, he's going to bring the mercy. And he's going to bring it over and over and over and over. Oh, I thank the Lord. Do you see the pattern he said here? The pattern of grace. Isn't that wonderful? It was the same pattern that started out. Salvation for the chief of sinner. For the unsearchable riches of Christ. For the less of the least of all saints. It never changes. It never changes. Thank him today. This was a great year. This was an awesome year because I got to see more of his mercy and more of his grace. I'm growing up in the Lord. I know my life's changing. I thank the Lord. He's changing me from glory to glory. But I'm getting the only way that happens is it's because of him. See, do you understand now why he chose you and why he called you? And I'm talking to us, brothers and sisters, because we're the ones that know. And I pray, I'll tell you what, if you're a bridal saint, you know this. You're the less of the least of all saints. Do you get that in heart? I do. I know it. See, I know his grace. And I know his grace is what's going to exalt me someday together with him, to be glorified together with him. She's a masterpiece of grace. She's a masterpiece of the mercy of God. She sees that the only beauty is to magnify him in that lovely, lovely wonder of the spectacular praise and glory of his grace. Don't miss this. Don't miss it. We're talking about the ones that failed in the eyes of religion. I'm talking today to the ones that flopped trying to be faithful. I'm talking to me. I thank God. You know where I had to fall? I had to fall on his grace. And somehow I fell so hard that grace has penetrated my life. And that's what's changing me. It's just the grace of God. I know that all that I am and all that I ever claim to be, as the word of the Lord says as we go. In 2 Corinthians, praise God, 8:9. For ye know. See, it can't be denied. You know it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich. Rich. For your sake, see how personal, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And all I can do is thank him this morning. Aren't you thanking him? Some 2,000 years ago, I praise you for your lowly birth. Praise God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Yes, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Father, we thank you so much for your son. We're just so grateful again to have hearts that are quickened and alive, alive to praise him in the fullness of his glory. Lord, as we go this day, and Lord, if you tarry even into this new year, Lord, let this be a renewing this morning. Let every life from your word, Lord, take abundance of hope and grace and mercy and thanksgiving, Lord God. Let us be a people of thanks. That's when you know you're growing. That's when you know that you're living by faith, is when you can thank the Lord in all things and thank the Lord for all things. Lord, only you can do it. Only you can do it with the love that will not let us go. Thank you for every life here today. And Lord, may you be praised. May the magnificence of your honor and glory be the praise upon our lips. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.